Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are plunging into one of the most alien information-rich environments on Earth.
The deep ocean soundscape.
Exactly. Mm. We humans, we're very visual creatures. Yeah. You know, we look at the ocean and we see the waves, the spray.
But for marine mammals, for whales, that's not their world. Their world is fundamentally acoustic.
It's all sound.
All sound. And that's the critical difference. The physics are just, they're completely different.
How so?
Well, sound travels about 5 times faster in water than in air.
5 times.
We're talking roughly 1,500 meters per second. This speed, you know, combined with less dissipation over distance, it means the ocean is an absolute riot of acoustic information.
But also a very noisy place to try and listen in.
Extremely challenging for researchers, yes.
And that challenge brings us right to the mission of this deep dive. Our sources are all about a radical new tool designed to listen to the ocean in 3 dimensions.
The hydroambiphone, or HAP.
Which is basically taking spatial audio tech ambisonics out of, like, a Hollywood soundstage and dropping it into the ocean.
That's a great way to put it. And it was absolutely necessary to solve what scientists call the cocktail party problem.
Right. If you're in a crowded room, you can tune out the chatter.
You can focus. But a traditional underwater microphone, a hydrophone, it's omnidirectional. It hears everything at once.
A complete cacophony.
Total cacophony. You've got a cruise liner over here, a snapping shrimp there, a whale call. How do you possibly pull out that one important sound?
So the HAP is supposed to untangle all that.
It's designed to transform sound from just, you know, a single data point volume and frequency into a full 3D experience.
Giving us a sense of the whale's own acoustic world. Their umwelt.
Precisely. It's not just what they hear, but where it is. And to get that, you have to understand ambisonics.
Okay, let's unpack that.
So ambisonics doesn't just record a sound wave. It records the whole sound field in 3 dimensions.
Like a map?
Kind of. Think of it like mapping sound onto a giant invisible sphere all around you. The math behind it, using what are called spherical harmonics, it lets you pinpoint where every sound is coming from on that sphere.
And once you have that 3D map,
you have incredible flexibility later. You can beamform, basically point a virtual acoustic spotlight on one tiny area, or you can digitally rotate the whole soundscape years after you recorded it.
That sounds incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But porting that to the ocean seems, well, hard. Ambisonics in the air uses directional mics, right?
It does.
Yeah.
And underwater hydrophones are the opposite. They're built to be omnidirectional.
So how do you solve that?
That's the real genius of the HAP's design. They couldn't make the hydrophones directional, so they had to create the directionality physically.
How?
The HAP uses a first-order ambisonic setup, so 4 hydrophones, and they mount these 4 omnidirectional hydrophones onto a big 12-inch hollow sphere made of stainless steel.
Okay, why stainless steel? It's not just a frame.
Not at all. It's the core innovation. Stainless steel has a very high acoustic impedance.
Meaning sound doesn't pass through it easily.
Exactly. It creates what they call acoustic shadowing. If a sound hits a hydrophone from the front, that steel sphere physically blocks sounds coming from the direct rear.
So you're casting an acoustic shadow.
You are. It's a brilliant physical hack. It forces those omnidirectional mics to behave like directional ones, which is what the ambisonics math needs to locate a sound in 3D.
Without the sphere, the whole thing just...
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It falls apart. The math can't place the source.
Okay, so hardware problem solved with a big piece of metal. But what about the software? The processing must have been a headache since it's all calibrated for air.
Oh, it was crucial. The raw signals, what they call A format, had to be converted to the standard B format.
And the software assumes the wrong speed of sound.
Right. It's assuming 343 meters per second, but underwater, we know it's 1,500.
That's a massive difference.
A huge difference. So the corrections were incredibly complex. They had to adjust for that speed disparity, the exact placement of the mics on the sphere, everything to maintain phase accuracy.
The timing of the sound hitting each mic.
Without that, your 3D localization is just garbage. So that conversion isn't just a file format change. It's what makes the location data usable.
So let's talk about the field test. This wasn't a lab. This was a 2-week, 300-mile voyage.
August and September of 2023, yeah. Through the Inside Passage of Southeast Alaska.
From Juneau to Ketchikan.
A perfect proving ground. You've got tons of biological activity, but also, you know, heavy vessel traffic. Cruise ships, fishing boats.
And the HAP's performance.
It was astonishingly sensitive, far more than they even predicted.
Like what?
They were picking up engine noise from large vessels over 12 miles away.
A dozen miles? That's over the horizon.
Literally beyond the horizon.
Hang on. If it's that sensitive, didn't that just make the cocktail party problem 10 times worse? I mean, a cruise liner from 12 miles away must be deafening.
And it was. That's the exact dilemma they hit at first. The noise from those big ships was so loud, it often completely masked the animal calls.
So how is that useful?
Well, this is where the 3D capture is so powerful. Because the HAP recorded the location of every sound, they could use that spatial beamforming in post-processing.
You could just digitally steer the microphone away from the noise.
Precisely. You can point your virtual mic away from the cruise ship or just digitally turn down the volume from that one specific direction.
Even though the ship is miles away and out of sight.
Exactly. They turned these unusable, noisy recordings into incredibly rich biological data.
That's a huge shift. Instead of filtering frequency, you're filtering location.
That's it.
How precise was it at separating those locations?
Very precise. The lab tests suggested maybe 90 degrees of separation, but in the field, they confirmed a resolution of 45 degrees.
So if two whales are calling from different spots...
As long as they're separated by that 45-degree angle relative to the HAP, you can pull them apart and track their individual voices, which is excellent resolution.
And what was the immediate impact for the researchers finally hearing the ocean like this?
It was. Well, you said it earlier. It was an immersive experience of the humpback's acoustic umwelt. They got almost 3 hours of amazing audio.
And revealed more than they expected.
Far more. Based on just watching the surface, they thought it would be quieter. But the HAP revealed this constant high degree of vocal interaction. It completely changed their view of humpbacks during the summer feeding season.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's get into the new scientific discoveries.
This is the big one.
Because you can isolate individual voices. You can start to analyze these complex group behaviors like bubble net feeding.
Right, which is this incredible coordinated group hunting technique. And by spatializing the calls during that feeding, they found something completely new.
A new type of coordination.
A vocal coordination that had never been reported before. They nicknamed it humpback harmonies.
Okay. Tell us exactly what that sounds like. What did the HAP let them hear?
So using their full surround sound playback system in the lab, they could confirm, with certainty, two distinct animals were vocalizing at the same time from two different spots.
Not just one animal making two sounds.
No, two distinct locations. And the recording showed they start their calls synchronized at the exact same frequency. But then, right at the climax of the feeding event, the two voices do this highly coordinated split.
A split in pitch.
In pitch, yes. One animal does the typical bubble net call, shifting its frequency up. But the other one, and this is the key part, the second animal shifts its frequency down at the exact same time.
So they're moving in opposite directions.
Precisely. It's the functional equivalent of human singers harmonizing.
Wow. And they recorded this multiple times.
They documented four separate harmonizing events. It's definitive evidence of really sophisticated, coordinated vocal behavior during a critical social activity.
That is just astonishing. It really moves our understanding beyond just simple signaling.
Oh, absolutely.
And this challenges the old ideas about humpback songs, right? The classic theory was all about sexual selection.
For decades, yes. Because we mostly observed males singing during mating season, everyone assumed it was for, you know, mate choice or territory.
But this isn't mating season. This is feeding.
It's a social, survival-based activity. This really gives weight to newer ideas that their vocalizations are also critical for navigation, for sonar, and for maintaining group cohesion over vast distances. It's central to their entire strategy.
And the harmonies weren't the only surprise, were they? The HAP picked up a couple of other things that seemed to break our understanding of ocean acoustics.
Yeah, one of the most counterintuitive findings was about infrasonics.
These are the ultra-low frequency sounds below what humans can hear.
Right, below 20 or 30 hertz. And conventional acoustic theory says that at those low frequencies, sound should propagate omnidirectionally. It just goes everywhere.
It bends around things.
So it shouldn't be useful for directional communication. But the HAP found something else entirely.
What did it find?
It repeatedly recorded these infrasonic signals and found they were highly directional. They were coming from a specific locatable point.
Which shouldn't be possible.
It confounds our current understanding, yeah. It suggests whales might have a way of creating directional low-frequency signals that we just don't understand yet.
That is mind-bending. And the other observation was about breaching.
Yes, breaching is this incredibly loud, explosive event. Because the HAP can locate the source of a sound in 3D, they could analyze the impact sounds from group breaching events.
So you can figure out how the group was arranged?
You can estimate their configuration, yeah?
Yeah.
And maybe start to probe whether breaching itself is a form of communication, a way to signal distant members of the group.
Stepping back for a moment, this technology, it sounds like something that would cost millions of dollars.
You'd think so, but that's another huge part of this story. The HAP is a dramatic departure from that model.
How so?
The researchers make it very clear in their work that the system uses inexpensive commercial off-the-shelf hardware and software, COTS components.
So it's something other people could build.
It's straightforward to construct at a moderate cost. It's replicable.
Which is huge.
It democratizes the whole field. It opens a path toward what they call citizen marine social science.
So you could have hobbyists and smaller labs building these and contributing data.
Absolutely. You could rapidly accelerate our understanding of marine vulcan life by just having more ears in the water, more 3D ears.
So this device isn't just solving one technical problem. It's potentially unlocking a global network of listeners, all tuned into this rich three-dimensional world.
It truly changes how we listen. It's a genuine window into their sensory landscape.
It's amazing what happens when you stop just looking at the ocean and you start really, truly listening with precision.
A whole new world opens up.
So to summarize the key takeaways for you, the ocean is a 3D acoustic world where sound is king, moving 5 times faster than an air.
Right. And scientists adapted spatial audio theory using the HAP, that spherical hydrophone array.
Which uses a steel sphere to create directionality through acoustic shadowing.
And that new tool led directly to this profound discovery. Synchronized, harmonizing social calls during humpback feeding. It reveals a level of social coordination we just never knew existed.
So now, consider the complexity of that newly revealed communication. The sources note that the ocean has a specific layer, the SOFAR channel, that acts like a waveguide.
It can carry sound for thousands of kilometers across entire ocean basins with almost no loss.
So if whales are capable of making these highly directional infrasonic signals, these ultra-low frequency sounds that defy our current theories, and if those signals are being funneled into that SOFAR channel,
what does that truly imply for the scale of their communication networks?
Exactly. What are they hearing? What are they navigating by? Or who are they communicating with across an entire ocean basin that we are only just beginning to locate now that we can finally listen in 3D?
That potential scale of communication is a truly staggering thought.
Indeed. Until next time, keep exploring.